the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Will O'Callaghan in for Matt Cooper. We have quite the eclectic mix, as we always do, on the week trending when it comes to stories for this Friday. We will talk about the Simpsons movie a little bit later. Is it necessary? Why are the Simpsons still going? Is a fair question, I think, to ask in the year 2025. Pope Leo has been labelled as woke by MAGA supporters because he's decided that climate change is real. And we will talk about Rory McIlroy, whether he's a hypocrite about his comments at the Ryder Cup last week as well. But I want to start by playing a clip from Mancon McGann's appearance on The Last Word in the summer just gone by. He was speaking to Matt back in June. He was very aware of his diagnosis at the time as well. And here's what he had to say when he spoke to Matt just a few months ago.
See, when I first landed in Canada about 4 years ago, these elders came to a talk in Edmonton, up in the wilds of Alberta. And they said, you've forgotten, they said, but you are related to the Métis people. So the Métis people in Canada are the Native American people who intermarried with whites, okay, with Scots mainly, and French and Irish. But the Scots tribes have remembered them. We have totally forgotten that. So all throughout Canada, there are these Métis tribes that are half Irish and half Native. And they weren't really accepted by the Native tribes because they weren't pure. And we in Ireland turned our backs on them. So they said, you, Mancon, need to reestablish these connections. They've invited me back every year since to do ritual with them, to get to know.
So what's involved in the ritual?
Well, one, it's a, I'm doing two, but 1 week it's a 4-day fasting ritual. So no food, no water for 4 days.
A bit like Loch Derg, is it?
You remember, you get the bit of McCambridge's bread in Loch Derg, and you get the tea. No, I've done Loch Derg.
It's a 4-day ritual without
food. No food, no water, yeah. And then
not good for you, Mancon.
They've been doing it for thousands of years, and they're thriving, yeah. And then you have a sweat lodge at the end. Yeah. And then it'll be a healing ritual that'll involve different herbs and different loads of drumming, all-night drumming and dancing and all.
Yeah. I have a vague recollection of an opening scene of an episode of Billions or something along these lines. But I think there were some hallucinogenic drugs involved in it as well, Mancon.
Well, I'm not saying they won't be there, but I am saying that I am listening to my doctors in Bowman's and James's, and I'm also listening to Native American elders.
And mixing the two.
That's the best way.
Mancon McGann, speaking to Matt just a few months ago back in June. He has passed away at the age of 55. A widely celebrated writer, documentary maker, people very familiar with his TV work, through Irish and through English, TG Carr, RTÉ over the years as well. Delighted to say that Fionnuala Jones is here with me in studio. Fionnuala, how
are
you keeping?
Hi, how are you?
I'm very Cork. We've got Joe O'Shea here as well. How are you, Joe, from our Cork studio?
I'm great, thanks very much.
Right, I think this is the perfect place to kick off, Fionnuala, because, again, I would say there's very few people who wouldn't have sat down and watched one of his documentaries, his travels, and maybe read about him, you know, moving to this. I remember reading about it a few years ago. It's a glass roof that he had in County Westmeath. He moved close to the hill of Ushnock and basically just wanted to be among nature. So everyone probably familiar with Mancon McGann over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember hearing this news kind of most recently about, you know, the extent of his illness and how he was embracing it, so to speak. And I felt so winded hearing the news. I got such comfort in hearing that he had comfort in the diagnosis and how he was dealing with it. But I was so devastated for this man who I think I have been in a room with once and we never spoke. He said, when you think about the impact he's had on my life and other people's lives, like I remember, I don't think I watched it because I was only 13 at the time, his series that he was TG Carr, No Bearla, where he went around the country and he's trying to only speak Oscailga and the kind of trials and tribulations he faced in doing that. And the reason why I say it was, I'm glad I didn't watch it when I was 13. At one point, hilariously, he tries to phone up a sex line and speak Oscailga. So I need to go back and watch it all. I cannot wait to like talk into it. But just even thinking then, as my 13-year-old self, who kind of wasn't really on the Gaelga train yet, and you know, had difficulties within the education system, like I was looking at this man with his spakely beog and thinking, he is so radical. He is so cool what he's doing. And to look at where we are now, I mean, I'm not sure we're still in a place where, I mean, if Mancon had done No Bearla again, how much more successful his efforts would have been. But to see this legacy that he's left and what the new generation are bringing in, even for Gaelga alone, and I mean, we could be here talking all day about his love of nature, everything else. It's just to leave a legacy that broad, of that breadth, is just monumental, and it is such an incredible loss.
Yeah, I kind of wonder about that as well, Joe. If No Bearla was made right now, where Irish is probably sexier than it's been for a long, long time, it would be very well critically received, I think, at the moment.
It would, and he was kind of a trailblazer in that respect. He was kind of like, he was treating Irish as a 21st century language. I think that was one of the things he always did. But he did so many things. I mean, if he was a Renaissance shaman, I think is probably one of the best ways to put it. He's the breadth of the things he was interested in and involved in. I mean, he's on the new Kneecap album. Mm. He performed live with Kneecap in Belfast last year. Drug Dealing Pagan, he's on that track. And he performed live with Kneecap, you know? So that was a nice closing of the circle as well, because they're the guys, they're the cool Gaelgors at the moment, are the guys kind of pushing the Irish language to new places. And he kind of started that, and he was there to kind of celebrate that with them as well. What struck me about it was when famous Irish people die or well-known Irish people die, on social media, you see a lot of people say, oh, that's terrible, you know, it's sad, and they did this and they did that. But people that we said, you know, I didn't really know him, or I never met him, but I felt like I knew him, or he did something that I found really fascinating. And it's so many different things that he did. You know, he was a travel reporter. He was, involved with regenerating, you know, Irish land, the landscape, and rewilding. He lived it and he did it. And a fascinating life, and at 55 years of age, that's nothing, you know?
Yeah, very few people, Fionnuala, will break characters like someone like Bill Badbody earlier on his social media. And he broke character to pay tribute, and also said, I think very importantly, it's so important for men to get checked for prostate cancer as well, because the recovery rate, if it's picked up early, is very, very good. And he is among the people who, again, I do not expect an entire online construct and comedian to go, just hold off there for a minute, this isn't going to be a joke about the Eisen housing crisis, I just want to pay tribute to this man.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I have to be serious for a second. And again, it speaks to him in what he does, that he was so open about his illness. And I can, again, assure sentiments. I hope people, men, are listening to that at home. Please get checked. Like, don't put it off. If anything is feeling weird, or even not, like, just get it checked out. I mean, you could save your own life.
Yeah. So, Joe, this is a weird one coming up next, which is Med Éireann, because this gave me a bit of an insight into how they name the storms. Because generally what happens is every few months we get the name, and here on the news we will just list off, here's what you can expect for the rest of the year. The different letters have been selected. I didn't realise it was as much consultation, and I didn't realise that Med Éireann would be thinking ahead and going, okay, we're going to have some names coming up in the presidential election year, and we cannot afford to be talking about these storms with first names of potential candidates.
Yeah, and on the day that Storm Amy just blew through Cork there in a big way and is now heading north, this is very interesting, because it's a kind of a peek into the kind of the process around it. And these weather events play such a huge part of our lives these days, and the way climate change is going, it seems to be every year they're getting more violent and more regular. But the Irish Meteorological Service, the Dutch and the UK have a kind of an agreement, because we're all in a sort of an area that gets affected by these mostly North Atlantic storms that blow true. So the three weather services get to make suggestions and then decide between themselves, really. And there's a list going from A to, well, this year to, from Amy to Wobbo. Wobbo is the last one, if you manage to get all the way to, which is a Dutch name, apparently. So this year, Met Éireann said, obviously, we don't want a Storm Heather or a Storm Jim, although Jim's causing enough random chaos at the moment, wouldn't really need a storm named after him. But the Dutch as well have their kind of, and the UK came back and said, for instance, one of the suggestions from Ireland was Fia, F-I-A-D-H, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but a girl's name, which the UK's forecasters thought it meant, it sounded too much like fear, or they read it as fear, and the Dutch were saying, we don't really know how to pronounce that, so that had to kind of get knocked. So what they need to do is they always need to come up with kind of names that are, yes, distinctly Irish, Dutch or British, but also kind of can be used by all three populations.
I do feel, Fionnuala, given the way that weather reporters would say this in the UK, the fear could well have become fear when they were actually saying it.
But, like, I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. The spelling, okay, yeah, fair enough, but they're saying that on the basis that we all speak with Boston accents or something, no? Like, is that not... I don't get it. Although I will say, unlucky Fia, because Fia got pulled out.
You're on the list.
Fionnuala got pulled in, baby. Let's go! But I would also argue not to go against my own name, but with all these arguments against FIA, like there's 8,000 vowels in Fionnuala, do you know what I mean? And I've heard so many butcherings of that name. It's interesting that they said, look, we'll go with Fionnuala instead. I'm sure they'll be able to manage with that. But like, yeah, I am absolutely delighted as a child who's had to grow up without my name ever being in any gift shop. I cannot even explain how many times this was sent to me online. So thank you, Med Aaron.
I wonder if someone is going to go Fionnuala or something like that.
I 100%. Yeah, they're Fionnuala. I've heard it all. I've heard it all. And I guarantee you can call me worse.
You also have a very good chance, by the way, of this being used because you have the 2025-26 season for this.
Yes.
I mean, we're getting deaf.
Yeah, we absolutely are. We absolutely are. I found this so fascinating as well to see, like, again, as you said, the consultation that goes into these names as well and some like lovely other ones. Gerard was selected. He was put forward by friends and family. This is a man who has cancer, but he had this fascination for extreme weather. I thought that was like a lovely tribute. Bram obviously features as well in honour of Bram Stoker, you know, storms and all that jazz. The imagery speaks for itself. So fascinating. What an amazing job. I'd love to be in there just picking them all out and chatting to everyone and being like, give me your store names. I want to hear them.
I got to feel this is the funnest part about working for Med Aaron.
Yeah.
Actually, I get to pick these each year. Joe, I'll give you a first shout in the next one, which is Rory's a hypocrite, former Ryder Cup captain says,
yeah,
as the US PGA say they will apologise to McIlroy and his wife. So Paul Azinger was speaking after the Ryder Cup at Betpage Black, and he felt because Rory basically decided to bite back at one point and use an FU to a guy who was shouting abuse at him, that, you know what, McIlroy's as bad as those fans who abused him and his wife for the whole weekend.
No, I mean, that's a very valid point. Rory should have just stood there and just taken dog's abuse for 2 days, and with his wife taking dog abuse and his teammates and people shouting the most horrible things at him. Paul Azinger, remember Paul from the early days, former Ryder Cup captain, but not really, never really kind of like, it's like something that you kind of, a guy kind of coming back to say something or anything to get himself back in the news, really, because it makes no sense whatsoever. He says that because Rory finally cracked and at one stage and talked back or at least demanded some sort of basic respect, that he's a hypocrite. It's a crazy argument. It makes no sense whatsoever. But unfortunately, American golf is Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is American golf. And this is the kind of attitude you're going to get from. We saw it on the course, what kind of people they are, what their values are. So Rory, I think, is not going to pay a lot of attention to this. The only decent thing that's come out of it is the head of the PGA, Derek Sprague, has actually apologised finally and said something. Not that it probably makes much of a difference to Rory and his wife.
I think, Fionnuala, it's totally understandable if you snap back. And I think if your fans, and you've decided you're going to call him from the very, very low end a choker and shout US Open at him and whatever else. At the other end, there were like rumours being shouted about his wife from like no distance away from where he was. Shane Lowry exploded at one point because something was said about Rory McIlroy's family. I think it's perfectly okay to tell them to shut the F up.
Like 100%. The whataboutism here, it just boggles the mind. Like if you are constantly being harassed, because this is what this is, harassment, constantly being harassed in such a high pressure situation as that, of course you're going to snap back. And like I know that your man Azinger, he says nothing about, it's all about, oh, Rory shouldn't have snapped back, whatever. Like there's no mention and there's no acknowledgement of the fact that any of the abuse that Erica got, which is obviously laden with misogyny, like no acknowledgement of that and how harmful that is. Just, oh well, Rory shouldn't have said anything, but we did it first, but Rory shouldn't as anything. It's just the most pathetic argument I've ever made. And I agree with Joe, it's giving irrelevant, and I want a few headlines for myself, I want a few talking points for myself. It's just total nonsense.
The next one, Fionnuala, again, MAGA supporters here. The Pope has gone too woke, because the Pope, and we talked about this on the environment a little bit yesterday, basically said, look, you know, you got to look after the world that's around you and you got to look at nature. He gave a blessing. And at that point, he is now a guy who has endorsed the idea of climate change, and therefore he is too woke.
God,
the Pope is now the wokest man in the world.
Woke Pope. We love him. We hate him. We don't know what to make of him. And this is, before I even get into this story, like the way the word woke has been co-opted by MAGA, by other groups, when it ever meant to mean was being aware of injustices, like being socially aware of things that are going on, as if that's a bad thing. Now it's being made to be a bad thing, boggles the mind. But anyway, MAGA support borders. They're not a fan of poor Pope Leo, say, because he blessed a block of ice at a climate conference. Now, I will say, you hear that and you go, okay. And I say that as a big sustainability girly. I say, okay, whatever. But as you said, he's literally just asking world leaders to act with courage to fight climate change and embrace, you know, his predecessor's environmental policy, to be aware of it, that it's something that we should absolutely be considering in legislation and policy and everything that we're doing. He's not even saying, like, that's not a necessarily, like, incredibly strong statement. It's just an acknowledgement of everything that's been going on and what his predecessor, like, laid the groundwork for. But obviously, as you said, I mean, the MAGA heads have gone totally bonkers over this and around the fact that it's, you know, calling him woke because of this. It's just... I don't know. Huge sigh.
I think, Joe, the other headline to this story could be Pope endorses science.
Yeah, well, you also had the beautiful sight of these all these Americans trying to explain the Bible to the Pope, who actually has a master's in divinity.
I believe he is infallible still. Yeah.
Yes, and he is infallible. Yes, one very well known MAGA influencer called him Mr. Pope. Mr. Pope, you have to realize. And is there a Mrs. Pope? Yeah. So, you wake up every morning and you get a nice kind of 4 or 5 hours before the Americans wake up and you don't have to deal with stupidity, and then they wake up and then you have to deal with stupidity. And all of this was just... And a lot of Americans thinking that the Pope blessing water, holy water, is some sort of satanic ritual, that, like, they were shocked to find out that the Catholic Church has these rituals, by the way. So, I think he'll be fine. I think the Pope will be fine. I think he'll get along somehow. He'll recover from this.
Yeah, wait till they see that documentary, The Exorcist, where, you know, holy water is being used against Satan.
Yeah.
Fionnuala, there is a definite generational gap in this office, right? So we were talking about the Simpsons movie yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I said I really disliked it when it came out back in, I think it was 2007, because it felt like the Simpsons had gone well past its peak.
Okay.
It came out. To me, it was, we got an environmental message. We got a few jokes we want to make. I didn't really like the movie. I didn't really like Spider Pig and all that type of stuff as well. But they loved it. Some of the younger members of the office thought the Simpsons movie actually got me into the Simpsons. I was gone past the moment of it. Do we need another one 20 years on?
Do we need another one? That's a great question. We're getting one regardless of whether we need one or not. It's coming in 2027 in July. Homer's coming back for seconds is the tagline. Do we need it? That's a great question. I liked the movie. I haven't seen it in recent times, so I might give it a watch over the weekend to see how it holds up in my childlike memory. But, I mean, there's an argument around the relevance of the Simpsons in this current climate and how reflective is it of, you know, modern day life for people and all that jazz. I don't know. Can it just be entertaining? Can it just be a point of entertainment? Like, clearly people are still watching it even after the sequel film comes out. I'm pretty sure it's renewed for another 2 seasons or another 2 years. So, like, there's no end in sight for it. Whether you think it's kind of jumped the shark is it kind of irrelevant at this point? Like, it's such a mainstay in American culture, global culture still, even if it is just from the first 13 seasons or whatever kind of fans classify as the good episodes.
Yeah, I mean, series 3 to series 14 are pretty much perfect.
Oh, peak.
That, so, oof.
Peak television.
The thing about it is, Joe, if we're going to go and see this in 2027, the first movie when it came out steered a long way away from what was happening in the TV series. It was almost like a story in and of itself. So maybe that's what happens. Maybe they get the old band back together and we hear that, you know, some of the writers in the 90s are on this again. And maybe it's just one last great hurrah for those of us who have nostalgia for it.
Maybe, because even the movie in 2007, by the time that came out, that was 5 or 6 years after the glory years of The Simpsons. And it was one last... I remember seeing it and I hadn't watched The Simpsons in years. But I'm a person... I know entire episodes of The Simpsons off by heart. I won a Simpsons pub quiz in London once for knowing Simpsons trivia that you wouldn't believe. I loved this. I loved The Simpsons. I wouldn't hold out great hopes for it. I've watched a recent episode of The Simpsons by accident, or at least 15 minutes of it recently, and it was not good at all. And it's just like, oh my God. It's like seeing somebody that you were really into a long, long time ago, and boy, have they let themselves go kind of thing, like, you know. So, yeah, not great.
Yeah, unfortunately at this point as well, once upon a time when you were watching on Sky particularly, they used to show it in the 4:3 ratio, so you knew it was an older episode at that point and you could just stay going. They've now stretched them all out thanks to what Disney have done with the archive.
Oh.
And now you've no idea. And you think, oh, it's a new one. And you realise actually it's one of them stretched and it looks weird. Fionnuala, and Joe. Thanks a million for joining us on The Week Trending.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.